So thank you, Suzanne, for that, because what it feels like is a lot of what it is that we're searching is part of our natural beingness, our natural essence, and we know that at the soul level, but in our experiences throughout life, somehow we've lost touch with that, and we end up thinking that outside influences and external influences have power over us. And as long as we think that, they do. So what I will encourage everyone on the call tonight to do, and I'm going to do as well, is to encourage you, and maybe I'll do it out loud verbally. Maybe I'll actually include everybody to actually say it all together. I don't know. We'll see how it all unfolds. But hold the intention for yourself that you are your only authority. And when I say you, it's not coming from an ego perspective. It's coming from the perspective that you are divinely connected. You are part of God, part of Source, part of the universe, whatever word you want to use. It doesn't really matter. I don't think God cares. And basically, you, as part of that Source, as an expression of that Source is what I'm going to use as another word, not as part of that Source, because part means we're fragmented, which is the illusion that we think we have, but as an expression of that divine Source, you have the right to claim that divinity in this here and now, in this lifetime now, in this body, in this experience you are experiencing right now. But you are the only one that can claim it. I can hold space for you. Teresa can hold space for you. Norman can hold space for you. We can all hold space for you. But you have to claim it. You can give me the power to actually help to claim that for you too. But again, you still have to claim it. You have to remember that you are a part of divinity, and as an expression of divinity, that you have not only the ability, but the right and almost the responsibility to claim that birthright for yourself. So this is what I'm going to do is say at this point during the call, I'm going to ask for everyone to claim that divine soul, that divine expression, that soulful experience, that soulful life that they are not only entitled to, but responsible for claiming. So it's about claiming your own autonomy, your own self-governing. You're claiming your own authority. You are the only one that has the right to make decisions for yourself.
It's about listening to the voice of your own authority, that voice.
You have to claim it first.
You have to
first. Norman, you
but
read
sometimes,
it.
Sometimes in order to claim it, we have to recognize that we can even hear it.
Exactly. Well, we have it there. Norman wants me to read a fortune cookie. I'm like, hey, I'll read it. Management is doing things right. Leadership is doing the right things. So it's about self-leadership. So it's about us being able to lead ourselves. So okay, so with that in mind, does anybody else want to state their intentions?
I am.
Good.
I'm Norman, and my intention for tonight is I am releasing in all areas of my life the burden, replacing it in all areas of my life with I am the gift.
Can I clarify?
Yeah, please.
Am I correct that when I say you're releasing the burden, you are releasing the thought that for you to actually live your full potential, you are somehow a burden? That
I'm releasing of being a burden.
It being a burden.
Mm-hmm.
So no longer are you being a burden, you are being the gift.
Yes.
Okay.
The gift of grace.
Thank you. Hi, Andy.
Hello.
Yay.
I've sort of been covering my microphone because I'm driving to football practice in a relative rainstorm from Oregon this time of year.
I was like, earlier it was like a lot of noise, and Norman's like, mute this person. So, welcome.
Just mute that 319 number.
No. You want to say something?
Nothing for now.
Okay. We have an immense rainstorm tonight. Lightning, thunder, wind, I love it. For me, it's like the universe is saying, whew, let's just clean this all up. Let's wash everything clean and blow away the debris. And it feels like that's what my soul is saying. Wash away the pains, wash away the misunderstandings, wash away the confusion, and blow away the debris.
Yep. Allow for full expression.
Exactly.
Whatever that means.
Exactly.
This away real quick. I think I'm okay.
Did you want to say something? The person that said she thinks she's okay, do you want to say something?
Oh, hey, Debbie, this is Jennifer. How you doing?
Hey, Jennifer. Good. How are you?
Good, good, good. I don't think I'll be able to stay on for the whole call, but I wanted to put in my intention.
Okay.
Which is vitality and lightness.
Thanks.
No.
But I might have to go, and in which case I'll just listen to the rest of the recording.
Okay.
But thank you.
You're welcome.
And is it star six to
it is
mute
star,
it?
Yeah, everybody.
Okay.
Mute yourselves. If you want to mute yourselves, please feel free.
Okay. Thank you, Debbie.
You're welcome. And then to unmute yourself, if you feel like you want to say something, just star six again.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Debbie, can I say something? This is Suzanne again.
Sure.
You know, it's interesting that when you were saying, like, the responsibility part,
mm-hmm.
I feel resistance to that. Because, I mean, even though I know in my head, obviously, I'm the only one that can be responsible for my own well-being. I'm not even sure that that's what I'm really talking about.
Keep going. I mean, and I want to actually just, and you're okay with us having this dialogue right here, right now, right?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, of course I'm talking to you.
I sounded like that Verizon commercial. Can you hear me now? Yeah, yes, that's fine.
Okay, good. Because I don't even know if you know, you said, even though I know this in my head, and I know you know it in your head, we want to drop it into your body and into your heart.
Yeah, and I don't really understand why I feel resistance because, well, I mean, I kind of think I know, maybe.
But here's the thing, maybe don't. We can't know everything,
yeah,
that's the point. What we can know is drop into our hearts and know that we are this divine expression of Source and that we have the right to claim our own birthright. And I'm going to again say responsibility because you're the only one that can live your life. I can't live your life for you. Nobody on this call can live your life for you. You're the only one that can live your life. We all need you and your life. So you know that, but like we mentally try to things out instead of connecting into the moment and allowing the actions to present themselves so we can actually take steps that are appropriate for our highest good. Did that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
How's the resistance now?
Yeah, I mean, it feels better. It definitely was more of a mental thing. The train just went right off the track there. But.
Beautiful, beautiful. Let it go. Let it crash. And here's the thing. It's not about making our mental mental realm wrong or our emotional realm wrong. It's about bringing them together into harmony so that they can actually sing. They can actually play their own tune, you know, bring that symphony together, that for that metaphor. It's about bringing everything into harmony so that things flow, your life flows, your body feels good. Your life feels good. It doesn't mean things never go wrong. It just means that nothing goes so wrong that it knocks you down irreparably.
Yeah, and I guess that there's an aspect of being overly responsible for things that weren't really ever my responsibility.
Okay, here's where we redefine responsibility. We define responsibility as a burden.
Right.
We grow up, we're supposed to become responsible. Suddenly that means we have all of these tasks and all of these jobs and all of these roles to fulfill. And that is a burden. But true responsibility is having the ability, the integration, and the connection of all of your inner resources so that you can respond. You are able to respond.
Yeah, that feels more whole.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. We want everybody to feel more whole. Breathe that in. Everybody breathe that in. And anywhere resistance shows up right now, whether it's emotional, whether it's a feeling, or whether it's a thought, or whether it's a physical pain, whatever it is that shows up, just breathe into it. And honor it, actually, honor it. Because all of these pains that come to us are simply our soul crying out and saying, hey, it's you're making it harder than it needs to be. We do that. We make it harder than it needs to be because that's what we're taught. So we want to breathe into the ease of actually breathing. And being in that moment. I mean, Eckhart Tolle talks about being in the now. And here's the thing. If you're in the now, if you're always in the now, you're always in the now anyway, but if you're actually easily being in the now, and you ask the question, do I have anything to be afraid of right now? How many people hear a yes? Breathing into that. Did that allow you to express yourself, Suzanne?
Yes, definitely. That feels so much better. I mean, I'm still feeling it physically, but it was just like what you said. It just, you know, it was just that perceptual shift that sometimes is required before you're able to, like, oh, okay, yeah, duh.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, yes, we're going to come up with resistances, but to come up with a resistance that's butting heads with a misunderstanding doesn't allow you to actually move past the misunderstanding. So it doesn't allow you to open up and receive the gift that you are. So that's why I wanted to take the time and clarify that with you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else?
Debbie, this is
yeah.
Cindy. You know, I'm just listening to that, and I've had a very interesting weekend in which my son-in-law's brother was killed in a motorcycle accident. My contract was canceled Monday morning, very large contract, and I instead of looking at it as this terrible challenge, I had to keep telling myself that, well, one, he's a light now. In God's arms, and he's got a brighter light. So I had to be just thankful that I met this young man. But all the whole challenge of living through challenges is actually a gift
yes.
of growth. And if you, and I kept telling myself all Monday, this is a gift that's going to open doors, and especially on the business side, and just keep on, and it took all day, moment by moment, and his father told me something that was very interesting, and I think it applies not only to the great loss they have suffered, but to us in general, is that we keep saying, take it one step at a time, and I think it's actually shorter than that. He said, I'm just taking it one breath at a time.
That's perfect, because that's exactly what I would say, take it one breath at a time.
Right, right. So all Monday, I just kept taking it one breath at a time. And a good friend of mine said, you've got to start living your purpose for yourself and not for others. And you know, I tend to live it for my, or I was living it for my children and then my parents. There was always excuses, because facing myself and being by myself was more of a challenge, to accept the responsibility of my mistakes as being very human and moving forward. But I just wanted to share that, because I think that just taking it one breath of it at a time is much easier than trying to look at your next step or taking this leap of faith. It's just breathe through it. Just
Go
breathe through the pain.
Yes. Yes. That makes life easier, to just breathe into the moment and trust that there's more going on in the universe than we can comprehend in our tiny little beings.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can just get that, and not by diminishing our tiny little beings, it's actually saying you don't have to be, that's the responsibility part. You don't have to be responsible for making the universe run. You only have to be responsible for making your own life run, or allowing your own life to run. And when you let
yeah.
go of trying to do it, live everybody else's life, then you can actually live your own.
Right. Right, and I was also taught, and I say this quite a bit, you know, we all hear row, row, row your boat, and a friend of mine said, start changing it to float, float, float your boat gently down the stream, because every time you're rowing, you're resisting, and every time you're floating, you're just letting it all come in. And so, anyway, I just wanted to share that stuff.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Wow. I knew it was going to be big.
That was kind of a long intro.
Yeah, like we know that wasn't an intro.
Well, it started, you know.
Yeah,
it started before your recording.
It's true, absolutely. Well, it started, and that's something actually for the new people that are on the call. Once you sign up for anything, so once you sign up for a call and a session like this, your session begins. It's that statement of commitment that I'm committing to showing up that actually really gets things moving. Beautiful. Okay. Teresa, you've been quiet.
Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of energy going on over there.
I'm kidding.
And around here.
You're not kidding. So.
Nothing's going on your left side, Teresa.
Yeah. What'd you say about her left side?
I said something's going on her left side. I keep getting this whatever, and I checked it. Was it me? And no, it was her. whatever that energy is. So.
It's her turn.
Whatever
it's this energy trying to say, wait, I have something to say.
Yeah.
Awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's an awareness.
So everybody just breathe. And while Teresa's formulating her words, I'm just imaging as everybody just breathes into this. Just imagine the sludge of feeling burdened or being a burden in your life. Just imagine it like melting from the top of your head down your body and sliding off of your body like oil, like a sticky oil. And it just falling off and going into the earth, much like the oil we take from the earth, let's put it back in.
And as you connect in with your breath, notice, is it easier to inhale or is it easier to exhale? Like, be really conscious about that. Notice, does the breath flow easy? And really be truthful with yourself about this. Because the breath cycle is very indicative of what's happening within. And when we're in the place of confusion or in the place of resistance, or when we're in the place of literally like feeling super stuck, then and that's often what happens when we're not listening to the voice of our own authority. Sometimes just dropping into the breath can be that which lets you know which direction to go. You know, what's the place that's holding you back? And if you find yourself where it's harder to exhale, like you're kind of stuck on the inhale, but it's harder to really exhale. Like you can inhale pretty deeply, but it's really hard to fully exhale. Then there is generally an element of fear that's being played out. And so a great question to ask is, what is it that I really have to be afraid of? And even better is to say, how can I right now know that I'm safe? How can I right now know that not only am I safe, but that I also am completely present and alive and vital? Because when we're in this place of feeling really stuck, the questions, and we can't, and it's hard to wrap the mind around a new way of thinking. Like Debbie said, we can hold the space for you. We can create the opportunity for you. But it's up to each one of us as individuals to step into what's possible and who we really are. And when we find ourselves not able to do that, asking the right question is essential. And so as you notice your breath, just notice, is it hard to exhale? And you may find that it's really quite easy to exhale, but maybe it's hard to inhale. And that's where you can't really catch the breath. And if you're finding it more challenging to inhale, ask yourself, oftentimes when there's a sense of finding it difficult to inhale, there's an element that goes beyond fear, that goes deeper, and it links into the cycle of shame. And shame can become rooted in us really, really quickly, because as human beings, in our experiences,
And as a child, just simple time being spent lets us know that we're worth it. And if anything in the childlike space gets to where we don't feel like we didn't get the time spent with us that we needed at that age, at an early age we can easily take on to that sense of I'm flawed or I'm defective, and so therefore I can only be ashamed of myself. And it's not a conscious thing that we take on, but it is a unconscious thing that comes on. And then we're taught to that things need to be done a certain way, that we become very duty-bound. And when we feel duty-bound, we become rigid and judgmental and perfectionistic. And then that creates shame as well, because we can never be good enough. When we buy into that belief. So it's like if we step out of the paradigm of being perfectionistic, then what happens is there's a fear that we'll cease to exist. And so that ties deeper into the shame of not having the right to joy, not having the right to be proud of who we are, not having the right to recognize the voice of our own authority, not having the right to step fully into who we really are.
Not having the right to exist.
And that's just it. That's why in order to be able to exist, there's the feeling that we have to be perfectionistic oftentimes. And so it's like you say, Debbie, not having the right to exist. So we buy into the unconscious shame. When that happens, the nervous system shuts equally as much or more than when it's in its regular fight or flight. And so just taking a moment to connect with the breath, and if you find that it's difficult to allow the inhale to come in, because when we're in the shame cycle, we need to stay small. And so why would we inhale? Why would we even feel possible to breathe, be open and be expansive and vital and alive? And so it's like really creating the question that then says, how can I right now know that my existence has meaning because I am, because I'm a human being, and in my beingness, I get to listen to the voice of my authority. Because when I do that, I do listen to the divine. Because that's what we all want anyway, at the deepest core, is that connection to the divine. Mm-hmm. And that opportunity to know that we're loved. And it's about resetting the nervous system and reorganizing and updating the nervous system. And not just the nervous system, but the fascial system, the whole cellular structure in the DNA, to be willing to say yes to life. And saying yes to ourselves.
Nice. Okay, I'm going to add another component. Is that okay?
Yes, in fact, I was getting ready to say you have something else to add to that.
I do. The in and the out. Obviously, vitally. But as you're still breathing, hopefully, as you're in that breathing state, not only notice, is it harder to breathe in? Let me rephrase that. Is it easier to breathe in? Or is it breathe out? Also notice, do you allow yourself a pause once you've breathed in? pause after you have exhaled. Do you allow that quiet space in between? Because really, the voice, the divine voice, comes through the breath, and you get to hear it in the pause. And that's also when you don't allow yourself to pause, that also is affecting your nervous system. It's affecting your decision-making process. It's affecting your thought process on your deservedness to actually give yourself time and space to be here in time and space. And not have to rush, or force your way through anything. When you allow yourself that breathing space, then you allow yourself that receiving space. And what's showing up now in regards to all of that is money. It feels like the driving fear of survival is so entangled around money and the thought that there's not enough. I can never get enough. I can never have enough. I can never be enough. Or there's not enough. If I take what I need, there's not enough. So I have to reserve and conserve my own needs and put my needs on the back burner in order for other people to actually be able to survive. And if you just breathe into that, you'll feel that at the deepest core, that's a lie. It's a misunderstanding that your inner that you don't have enough inner resources and there aren't enough outer resources. The problem with us devouring all of our outer resources at a rapid rate is because we're so disconnected from our inner resources, we think that there's not enough. So we have to devour. We either do without or we devour, or we go in and out of a cycle of that. And that just creates more and more stress, more and more tension, and more duress in the way we sense and perceive our world. So I want to balance our senses right now around that. And breathe into all parts of us. There's no part of us that's wrong. There are only parts of us that are misunderstood and parts of us that misunderstand. And are at odds with one another. So we want to integrate those parts. And realize we're whole. We need to take care of our physical needs. We need to honor our physical body. We need to honor our emotional needs and express them. And we need to honor our thinking processes. So, and we need to honor our spirit. All of these parts of us need to be honored and work together harmoniously. It's like a dance. I see like dolphins swimming in and out right now. Dolphins are very harmonious. They swim as a pod. It's like our inner resources, calling them back home, calling them back home. And the only way we can call them back home is if we call them back home. Quite a breath, Teresa.
That was a big breath.
It was.
I could feel the poignancy of everyone, many people holding their breath.
Guys, the pause at the end of the inhale and the pause at the end of the exhale is not a holding of the breath. It's a kind of accepting of the breath, and like it's a kind of like reveling, almost like, ooh, I like that in breath. I think I'm gonna just take it all in, and then ooh, that felt good too. I think I'm just gonna feel that too for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an not about forcing a pause. It's about asking for and acknowledging and honoring and owning the pause and owning the breath. See, when we take and claim autonomy for our own life, what we are doing is change the past. The events of the past never change, but our perceptions of them do change, and that, in essence, changes the past. So what happens is it allows us to make different choices. It allows us to always make another choice if we need to. And if we can learn to tap into laughter, I think this is why I saw the dolphins coming in, too. The endorphins kicking in. So we can learn to tap into laughter, too, with the breath. What we do is we get to laugh at our own mistakes, our own foibles, our own, quote-unquote, screw-ups. And we get to go, wow, that was funny. it hurt a little bit, but it's funny, and I just prefer not to do that again. And almost, it's like you were talking earlier, Teresa, about the perfection. It's like I just saw like somebody thumbing their nose. It's like thumbing your nose at societal constraints and saying, maybe you want to be there, but I don't. I choose differently.
Laugh at your imperfections because they're perfect too.
And you know what? They're beautiful. Because we need them all. We wouldn't be here if we were all, quote-unquote, the same. We would be like the Stepford Wives and zombies. So there would be no need to be here and experience. This way we get to experience everything.
It's about really recognizing that perfection is in the moment.
Yes.
That each moment is perfection manifest.
Yes.
Because each moment allows us the opportunity to heal and to grow.
Yes.
And that makes it perfect.
Yes.
Allow the heaviness of the burden that we're all feeling to take a different form. I just keep feeling this burden that Norman was talking about earlier. So.
Yes, and that with that I felt the whole burdens of the world. And, mm-hmm. and what I got is everybody just say yes to life. And no to anything else. Life. Everybody would, when you're while you're breathing, and you can say it out loud to yourselves, or you can say it out loud, if everybody would just you can use whatever words you want, but I'm going to give you some words to use right now, where we all, as a individually and as a collective, claim our divine birthright here and now. Let's just all say that, either out loud or in our heads. I, and use your name, whether, again, you do it out loud or in your head. Claim, I'm going to say it for me, I, Debbie Moran, now claim my divine birthright here and now. I claim autonomy over my own life. About the rest of you, but when I did that, I felt like goosebumps all over. And it's like I saw angels like clapping. They were dancing.
And there's a piece here too, Debbie, that I feel is important to recognize. It's so beautiful, is that in claiming autonomy of our own lives, we're surrendering to the divine.
Exactly.
And that's what I think is many people find is a challenge to grasp. That's why I felt it was really important to say that.
Thank you. That was very important. I appreciate that clarification. I mean, I understood that, but I'm glad you clarified. Thank you. Yeah, it's not an egocentric little child stomping its foot going, this is mine. It's the exact opposite.
It's not a religiosity either. When I say it's a surrender to the divine. And so I just want to clarify that.
Thank you.
It's about ego and religion, period.
Thank you.
And whatever your belief system is, if those belief systems give meaning to you, then that is beautiful. It can only support you in having autonomy of your life and surrendering to the divine even more deeply.
Exactly. Yeah, this is not a conversion. This is simply a coming together, you know, coming together with your soul's purpose and your life and your source, whatever that means to you. I feel like there's a question out there on somebody's mind.
I was feeling that too.
So if anybody wants to ask that question, feel free.
You may need to unmute.
Actually, I haven't unmuted anybody.
at one point, it came, on mine anyway, it's muted and wouldn't let me back in. It might have been me, if that's too noisy or something, that you guys may have done it. But.
Oh, at one point I did mute you, Andy, so I'm glad you unmuted yourself.
Okay.
Because
I had to hang up and call back in, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So
I figured it out.
If I have to mute anybody again, I will tell them. I just didn't want to interrupt what was going on.
I was trying to cover the mic, but it was noisy.
So somebody has a really pressing question.
Debbie, can you hear me?
I can. Is this you, Daya?
No, it's Marilyn. Hi.
Marilyn. Maybe you're the one with the really pressing question.
Oh, yeah, but I don't know how to form the question, but it's probably me that you're feeling.
I feel like it is, my dear, so just start talking.
But it's the idea that that financial loss that I had, and I don't know, there's a bunch of confusion surrounding it. Like I said, the shame factor of having lost what was given to me, I don't quite get it, but then I get it, but there's a question there, and I don't know what, there's a lot of confusion.
Okay, I get it. Do you want me to tell people? Do you want to tell people, or do you want me to just see what comes up?
Just see what comes up, please, okay?
Okay. This is around the really heavy, heavy-duty financial issues, loss, and loss of something given. So it's almost like, okay, so what I'm feeling like there is a huge level of resistance to actually receiving the gift, Marilyn. I don't know when you came on board, but we talked about the burdening and the gifting, and the feeling like a burden and feeling burdened in life and not owning up to your own divinity and your own the gift of your own life, not actually receiving the gift of your own life. And we've gone through a lot of different things relating to shame.
Mm-hmm. I've been on for a while. I just didn't know if my telephone was going to work.
Ah, it did. Well, thank you. Well, this has to do with a lot of that.
Okay.
This has to do with a lot of the not feeling not feeling worthy and not feeling like you had the right to receive, especially from the person you received it from.
Mm.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
So,
yeah.
in essence, then it's like totally, and I'm choking up now, so there's something about not light, something being too hard to swallow. Like, the reversal of roles being too hard to swallow.
That's crazy. That's kind of strange. I don't quite feel that. I was very proud, actually, that the person that gave me was able to do that, because I know that he was very proud of being able to do that.
No.
But I just don't. I feel very, I don't know, almost like the reversal of roles in losing it. It's like, how in the world could you do that? You know, you just don't lose something like that.
Exactly. So it's really about that kind of dynamic of that. Exactly. The shame of...
It's grief.
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually told someone when I went to work today, having to go to work and having to face some of the people that knew what happened, because I had asked for their help in looking for what I had lost, and they went, well, you certainly don't seem to be showing, you know, any effect of that major loss. And I'm like, well, I'm going through the grieving of it, but life goes on.
Yeah.
And they didn't get it. You know, they were like, how can you smile, and how can you, I was like, well, you know, I cannot do anything about it, and this is not the time or place. But it was heavy. It's very, very heavy.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like they wanted you to show...
Can you all close the door?
No.
The whole guilt and shame dynamic. It's like
it is.
Wanted, to actually show the remorse.
And that was the word, remorse, yes. But what's really funny is that while I did go through that privately, it was like they were looking for more, I don't know, like you're supposed to be feeling this. And I was like confused about the fact that, well, yes, I did, but now I'm moving on. And do I have the right to move on? Because it's very complicated.
Yep, yeah, that's it. Do you have the right?
And I guess I gave myself the right, and I was going forward with it. And people were trying to pull me back and say, as if to say, no, you don't leave yet. You're supposed to be doing this. And I wasn't. And there was confusion around that.
Yeah, and that's actually, thank you, that's beautiful, because that's part of the dynamic. It's like we try, even in trying to claim your own life, there are outside people, especially those who are in your immediate environment continually, who will continue to do their best, because they don't understand or because they're in their own mode of suffering, to keep you in the old patterns, in the old ways, in the fear mode.
Yep.
And in the claiming of your life, it's about exactly that, claiming your life. And irregardless of what outside people, what other people's opinions are about where you should be and what you should be doing, have no power over you anymore. When you claim your life.
Okay.
They have no power over you anymore. It's kind of like, you know, it's like Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah.
Okay.
And a lot of people won't like that, but that's their own problem. It's only your problem. You take it on.
You know, it was almost as though I got the feeling, and more than the feeling, that there were people who were thinking, you didn't really go through that loss. You're just making that up. And I was like, well, that's because that's the way you would have dealt with it, but not the way I'm dealing with it.
Exactly. People can only relate to you the way that they relate to themselves.
Okay.
And
that
so
makes sense.
You can't control how other people relate to themselves. You can only be an example and relate and reconnect to yourself and take charge of how you relate to yourself.
Okay, that makes sense. That hits home.
Good.
Thank you, Debbie.
That was beautifully said, Debbie.
Thank you, Trudy. It's like, I've never read this book, but I love this title. There's a book out there called Your Opinion of Me is None of My Business.
I like that.
I love it. It's like, yeah, you know, everybody has the right to their opinions, but they don't always have the right to express them to you without your request.
Exact. I like that, yes. Great session.
And if they
Thank
choose
you.
To accept that, we have the right to say, that is only an opinion.
Exactly.
I can choose to receive it or not.
Exactly. And when you
okay.
get really, I actually had an example of this where somebody continually gave me their opinion over and over and over again until finally one day, and I quit being charged about it, but one day because I quit being charged about it, I just looked at him and said, you know what? That was really good advice, and I really appreciate it. But next time, wait till I ask for it.
Jadon, I love it.
Yes.
That's way excellent.
To go down.
That is excellent. Thank you.
So that way you can like let them know you heard them. And and next time they only need to volunteer when you ask.
That is so cool.
I remember it because it surprised me.
That you said that?
Yes.
Very good.
Cool. Okay. Thanks much for the answers.
You're welcome, Marilyn. Thank you for coming on. Everybody.
Norman.
In France right now, so she's like in the middle of the night. So she makes a big effort to show up, so thank you.
Hugs, Marilyn.
You know, it was really funny that when I wrote that I had woken up on Sunday, like out of the clear blue sky, it's time, plug in. Nope, but it was really nice music, though, Debbie. It was really nice music on the line.
You have to thank Free Conference Call HD for that. I don't do that.
You had nothing to do with the music?
I have nothing to do with the music.
Well, it was very nice.
I'm on the Free Conference Call HD.
You should tell them that. It's good stuff.
Glad you enjoy.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank
so
you,
much.
Debbie. Thank you, Teresa.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you all.
Thanks a lot.
I guess that's all.
I think it
looks like it. Sorry about that.
And everybody started saying good night. I think that's funny.
Was it something I said?
Nice.
I love it. That's a perfect example of we don't have to do anything. Just hold an intention. Oh, I love it.
Okay. Well, if that's a spontaneous ending, I guess then I will say goodnight as well to you all, and thanks again.
I think it is, and you're welcome, Marilyn. Sweet dreams.
Thank you.
Sweet dreams.
And have a good evening. What's left of it for you all?
You too.
Thank you.
I am going back to bed.
You can listen to this again at newmoonsession.com.
Who are you talking to?
We'll be available in an hour.
In an hour?
Your friend.
Oh, cool.
And,
okay.
Also
thanks
donation.
For that info.
Anybody wants to donate?
I'll be doing that as soon as my financial hang-ups get taken care of.
You just get that straightened out.
Yeah, definitely. Okie doke. Take good care. Bye-bye now.
Bye, my dear.
Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, guys. I'm breathing better.
Yay.
Yay.
I apologize for all the noise. I drove all the way down to practice, and they canceled it.
No way.
Because they had, like, 3 strikes of lightning, and they don't have lightning here in Oregon, so whenever they see lightning, it's like the sky is falling.
Oh, I know. That's how it is. Here it is with rain. It rains. The sky is falling.
But, I mean, I would imagine in Florida that, you know, 4 o'clock rain, well, that's when football practice is 4 or 5 o'clock, that you probably have thunderstorms that you have to play through a lot. But
well, they do play through rain, but they won't play through a lot of lightning. It's like, if
but, yeah,
lightning
it just depends on how close it is. I mean, if they see it all in the sky, they're calling practice here, because it doesn't happen very often. But
yeah, well, even here, they're afraid of lightning, so it's like, if there's too many lightning strikes, they cancel.
Must happen a lot this time of year.
Yeah, I know. I don't have any kids, Andy, but I imagine there's a lot of risk. Oh,
yeah,
I need to stop recording. I'm stopping recording now.